You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 477.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Here we are.
Yes.
And we got a list to do today. Good old-fashioned Flopcast top 4.5 list. So that'll be festive.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's going to get us through the week.
Yes, that's just what we need.
Yeah, then, you know, next week we'll come up with something else. That's the process. I think we're going to start, however, as usual, with National Whatever Day.
Okay, well, we wouldn't have Spaceballs or Men in Tights without him. On June 28th, Mel Brooks turns 95 years old.
95. Yikes. Okay.
I was going to say, I remember him when he was a young man. I don't. But I do remember in 1993 when the movie Men in Tights came out with Cary Elwes.
Yeah, you know, the weird thing with me and Mel Brooks is I think I have seen one Mel Brooks movie, and that would be Spaceballs.
I was going to guess Young Frankenstein, but no, Spaceballs.
Only one I ever saw was Spaceballs, and that was, you know, when it was new in a theater, and haven't seen it since. So I guess I'm awfully clueless about Mel Brooks. I know he did those comedy records and stuff with Carl Reiner. I remember that stuff. But the movies, man, I somehow missed every Mel Brooks movie.
I mean, I think you either like love his work or hate it.
And I don't even know which side I should fall on because I've never even given any of it a chance. It's one of my comedy blind spots is I just never got around to any of the Mel Brooks stuff.
And yet I have friends that could probably quote from end to end Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles. And since I loved Robin Hood Men in Tights so much when it spoofed Robin Hood Prince of Thieves back in the early 90s.
Yeah, it was like the parody version of the Kevin Costner Robin Hood movie, I think.
It was much needed, I would say.
Which I saw. I saw the Kevin Costner version. Didn't see the Mel Brooks version.
I could not bring myself to see the Kevin Costner version. I get so sick of that Bryan Adams song that I just...
Well, yeah.
Take it.
Yeah, not a fan of that Bryan Adams song. I like Bryan Adams' 80s stuff, but by the 90s it was all over.
Yeah, what on earth was that? And when I finally did get around to watching Spaceballs and May the Schwartz Be With You, liked it a lot, but yet I've not seen The 12 Chairs or Silent Movie or High Anxiety.
Do you think he's personally offended that we've just been ignoring him all these years?
Well, I always see him in pictures with that big smile on his face.
Yeah, but he's faking it. You gotta look. You can see it in the eyes. He's thinking, oh, those flopcast people. What do I have to do? See, when it comes to Mel, I'm just on Mel's Diner. You know, Alice. That's the only Mel I care about.
I used to get him mixed up with Mel Blanc.
Oh.
A couple of different Mel Bs.
Yeah, good point. I do like Mel Blanc also. So I guess we're not sold on this guy yet. I'm going to give him a little longer. I'm going to watch. Let's see if he can, you know, crank out another 4 or 5 movies. If they look good, I'll consider it.
You know, 100 is just around the corner. It's now or never. He's going to get that done.
We'll be on board by the time he turns 100, I'm sure. Happy birthday, Mel. Hey, we've got some follow-up. We have a National Whatever Day correction.
I messed up?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yeah, remember last week we were celebrating the birthdays of the entire cast of Family Ties?
Yeah.
It was Meredith Baxter and Michael Gross. You informed us they actually have the exact same birthday, same day, same year.
Yes.
The exact same age, the parents from Family Ties, classic 80s sitcom.
Oh, don't tell me that's not true.
Completely wrong. They're completely different ages, and they've actually never even met.
Oh.
We've been living a lie. No, I think you got the dates were correct. Here's the part we got wrong. You mentioned that Michael Gross is a big train guy. He's way into trains.
He's into model trains.
And then we said, how did we miss that when we did those two big Flopcast episodes all about trains in pop culture? How did we skip over Michael Gross?
Yes.
Well, I got a terxt from Ed.
Oh, no.
Ed from the Sponge Awareness Foundation, who was our special guest for our train shows a couple of years ago, because Ed's a big train guy. You know, he's a train expert. And Ed sent me a terxt, you know, which, of course, is a turkey-themed text message. You know that. Earlier today, this came in. It said, "Hey, you turkey." Of course, we talked about Michael Gross on the show. I responded, "We did? My memory only goes back about 20 minutes. To which Ed replied, "Apparently, you need to take a train to Memory City." So I did. I actually went back to our two train episodes from late in 2019. I listened to both of them today, because I didn't know which episode we talked about Michael Gross in. And it turned out it was at the very end of the second episode.
Oh.
So I listened to us talking about trains for 2 hours earlier today, Cornflake. But eventually...
eventually we got around to Michael Gross.
Yes, we spent a few minutes discussing Michael Gross.
How do I not remember this?
And we both completely forgot.
Wow.
Isn't that fantastic?
Sorry, Ed. Sorry, Michael Gross.
Yeah, we went into how he owns a train place and yeah. his collections. And then Ed has a friend who was in a bidding war with Michael Gross for some kind of train memorabilia. He told a whole story about that.
Ed, I'm so sorry. I promise I was listening when you were telling this story.
I mean, we were snoring on and off throughout those episodes, but it was very light snoring, I think. We weren't completely unconscious for the entire train shows, is what I'm saying. So right. we should have caught the Michael Gross part.
And I don't like to say sleeping, Kevin. I like to say heavily meditating on what was being discussed. Like, yes. emphasis on the heavily.
Yeah, when I snore, that means I'm really concentrating.
Right, deep in thought.
On what Ed is saying.
Pondering the reality of Michael Gross's train yeah. collection.
So our apologies to Ed and to Michael Gross.
Wow.
From Family Ties. But anyway, I actually enjoyed both those episodes.
I did too. They were so good.
Yeah, if anybody missed them, or even if you didn't miss them, if you completely forgot them, as we did, yeah, it's Flopcast episode 390 and 391. I enjoyed them both earlier today, so check those out. Maybe I'll throw some links to those episodes in the show notes. You can pop on over directly to some train talk about Michael Gross. So there's some whatever-day corrections for you.
I'm glad Ed set us right with a terxt.
Oh, yeah, he was furious.
I'm glad I was not within striking range.
So, Cornflake, to get down to the main business for today's show, how about a top 4.5 list?
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1.5?
The top 4.5 list.
Yes, how about a top 4.5 list?
And this is your idea. This, speaking of terxt, you sent me a terxt just yesterday or the day before suggesting this topic. I immediately agreed to it. I don't know why, but Cornflake, what is the subject of today's top 4.5 list?
Sweet things. Sweet summery things.
Just sweet is the concept. So we'll see how this goes. This is all your fault, and so you're up first, Cornflake. The subject is sweet, which is weird, and what's going on for number 4?
I promise it's going to get better from here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, when I was coming up with a top 4.5 list, the first thing I thought of was Sweet Baby Ray's. I'm a huge fan of barbecue sauce, Kevin. I love a good barbecue sauce.
Uh-huh.
I will put it on anything and everything. So Sweet Baby Ray's is actually not just a barbecue sauce, but they have a couple of restaurants out in the Chicagoland area. So I was thinking of Sweet Baby Ray's because it was a few years back. You know our friend Sarah?
Yeah.
She took me and Dornail to dinner there. So At number four, it's Sweet Baby Ray's, both the barbecue sauce and the restaurant.
I know this sauce. I had some tonight.
What? No way.
Yeah. But I dumped some hot sauce into it. I kicked it up. I made a hybrid barbecue hot sauce by mixing and matching my own sinister evil hot sauce into it.
High octane Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yeah. We're not fooling around over here in Chicken Town. I mixed it all up. It was crazy and spicy. And then I dumped it right in the bird feeder.
Oh, did you?
Sparrows are out there enjoying it right now as we speak. They love it.
Barbecue bird seed.
Yeah.
Yum.
I wasn't going to eat that stuff. All right. That's a very strange start to the list. It's barbecue sauce.
Yep.
But I used to make my own barbecue sauce for a while. Like
really?
20 years ago, I was experimenting with just creating my own barbecue sauce recipe. Yeah. It was a lot of work.
Wow.
And, you know, what's the point? Just buy a stupid bottle of barbecue sauce.
Well, I was going to say, wait, are we missing out on a marketing opportunity? Could there be flopacue sauce?
Should we be expanding the podcast to also have a line of condiments?
I would totally dig flopacue sauce.
Can you do that through the ESO Tea Public? I know they have, like, t-shirts and coffee mugs. Can we do barbecue sauce?
That would be so great.
That might be a bridge too far for Tea Public. But that said, everybody, jump on over to ESO Network's Tea Public store. Buy some ESO stuff. Support the network. I'm drinking my coffee out of a Flopcast coffee mug right now, which came from Tea Public.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a handsome mug.
I'm glad you're not drinking barbecue sauce out of it. That's taking it a step too far.
I did a online panel last week, and I almost grabbed this coffee mug to use on the panel, and then I realized I can't because the mug is green, and it would disappear on my green screen.
Every time you take a drink.
Yeah, I'd just be drinking invisible coffee. I used the But First Let's Talk Nerdy coffee mug instead.
It's a classy mug.
Which is not green, so it worked. Anyway, get a mug, fill it with barbecue sauce.
Like you do.
Support the network and be weird all at the same time.
Yes.
Number four on my list, starting out strong, I think.
Okay.
Because I'm going with from the classic 80s sitcom, Gimme a Break.
Oh.
Remember Gimme a Break?
Oh, yeah. Nell Carter.
And so she's the housekeeper. We still have to do Joe's idea one of these days. We're going to do a flop fight of like butlers and housekeepers.
Yes.
She's going to be in that tournament.
She is going to reign supreme. That is my prediction.
She's the housekeeper, but her boss was the grumpy old police chief, remember?
Yes, very gruff.
He's the single dad with the three daughters. Then they brought in Joey Lawrence at some point also. It just went off the rails.
Yep.
But that dude, the old gruff police chief on Give Me a Break, the actor's name is Dolph Sweet.
Dolph Sweet, that's right.
Such a great name. That name would freak me out every week watching the opening credits.
I love that name. I forgot that that was his name. I always think of Nell Carter. I forget his name.
Yeah, he was good. And he's one of those guys, once I knew who he was, then I'd start seeing him in things, in movies from the 70s especially, 70s and 80s. I'd be like, oh, there he is. There's Dolph Sweet. And he pops up on a lot of TV shows and stuff. The mayor and I just saw him a couple of weeks ago because we've been rewatching Taxi. One of those streaming things has Taxi, so we've been rewatching Taxi. And Dolph Sweet pops up in an episode of Taxi, and it was very exciting.
Oh. You guys are on the right track. I need to rewatch Taxi if it's available on a streaming service.
Yeah, one of those streaming things has Taxi, and if you catch just the right episode, it's a season one episode because we're still in the first season, but there's Dolph Sweet. And it's easily the most exciting thing that's happened to me in the last, like, year and a half. But he was in The Out-of-Towners, the original. He's in Bad News Bears, Breaking Training, the sequel. And a bunch of goofy old movies and TV shows and stuff. And if you look at his IMDb credits, he almost always plays a detective or a policeman.
That sounds about right.
You know, he had that look. He always got cast as a detective. Just looking at the character names on IMDb, it's detective this, detective that. He's always a detective. It's very funny. But I was reading up on Dolph Sweet today. Check this out, Cornflake. Dolph Sweet served in World War II.
Uh-huh.
His plane was shot down in World War II, and he was a prisoner of war for 2 years.
Wow.
And while in the prison camp, Dolph and some of the other prisoners started putting on plays like to entertain their fellow prisoners, and that's how he got interested in acting.
That is such an amazing backstory. It's incredible.
Yeah. And yeah, he was teaching for years after that. And so he was in his 40s before he broke into TV and movies and stuff. So a relatively late start to a very successful acting career. But it started in the war. I guess it makes sense that he's so gruff.
Gruff, yeah. Now I feel bad for ever saying, what a gruff guy.
That'd gruff you up, I would think.
Yeah.
It should. And very, very funny, very entertaining guy. He was gruff and grumpy, but could anchor that sitcom as well. So there you go, Cornflake. Number four, Dolph Sweet.
That is a nice, strong start. Don't even try to convince me again that you had a hard time making this list, because that's awesome.
All downhill from here, I assure you. But let's lob this back over to you now. How about on your sweet list, number three?
I only ever see these at Halloween these days, and only at the very bottom of a trick-or-treat sack. But they deserve their due. I'm talking about sweet tarts.
Yeah, the sweet tart. I like those.
I do too. Or I did.
They've got a little tartness to them, thus the name the sweet tart.
Yeah, it's not straight sugar.
Because it's not like the little rolls of Smarties, those, you know, powdery pastel little candy disc pill things. Those are just nothing. It's just sugar.
Yeah.
The sweet tart's got a little more character to it.
Yeah. A little bit of a snap to them.
And in your Halloween bag, there'd be those little paper packs, and there'd be like two or three of them inside it.
Right.
And I think that little pack is supposed to have three of them inside, but often you'd be ripped off and there'd only be two.
Yeah. I always thought when I got three, I was just lucky. I didn't know it was supposed to have three.
I think the idea is three, but often it's a ripoff. I feel like over the course of my life, I feel like I'm probably owed about 750 sweet tarts. That's the deficit I'm currently running in my life.
Sweet tart deficit.
Yeah.
I don't know that they can totally make this right for you, Kevin, because over time, they've changed the flavors some. They replaced my absolute favorite flavor.
You like the barbecue flavored one, as I recall.
Barbecue sweet tarts.
Can't get those anymore.
They've still got blue punch, which they just refer to as blue. It tastes like blue.
That's does taste exactly like blue.
Yes. Accurate. Yep. Cherry, grape, lemon. They took out of rotation for a while, but now lemon is back.
Due to a public outcry. Oh, wait, actually, nobody noticed.
I do enjoy a good sweet tart once all the other candy is gone.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's bottom of the bag. I guess it's time to get around to the stupid sweet tarts.
I guess I can eat them. And I enjoy them once I get to them. They're not my go-to, but they've endured since the 60s, and I think they deserve credit for that. So
they're fine. They're just fine. It's just that several of them are missing. The more we talk about them, the angrier I get. So let's move on.
Well, yeah, let's move to your number three.
Okay, number three on my list, and I'm going to the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh.
And specifically, back in the day, in the 70s, 80s, one of their star players back then was Sweet Lou Dunbar. And this was the era when they had a cartoon. Well, they had a cartoon in the early 70s, but then the late 70s, when Sweet Lou was on the team, he was part of the cartoon series Super Globetrotters, in which the Harlem Globetrotters would transform into superheroes. Sweet Lou was one of them. His superhero name was Gizmo.
That's neat.
And his superpower is that he had this giant afro, and he would reach into the afro and just pull out all kinds of tools and gadgets and stuff, whatever they needed in the moment.
Oh, that's handy.
I mean, the guy had a big, you know, wonderful afro head of hair, and they just...
You could just pull anything out of that.
Somebody at Hanna-Barbera said, all right, let's run with that.
Very clever.
I guess. I know we've talked about the Globetrotters before. I'm trying to remember. Have you seen them?
Yeah, there was a time in, I want to say, the late 90s, early 2000s, when up in the Boston area, the Harlem Globetrotters would always come around and do one of their live shows right around my birthday. And right. So it was customary for me to go see them live. Obviously, their lineup has changed over the years.
Oh, of course.
But the show still contains these amazing basketball stunts and a lot of great comedy. So I absolutely love the Harlem Globetrotters. And when you brought them up on this list, I thought you were going to say because of Sweet Georgia Brown, the song that they play.
Yeah, you know, that did occur to me. It's sort of a bonus sweet thing on this, my number three entry.
Extra sweet.
I did think of Sweet Georgia Brown also, of course, that goofy whistling song that the Globetrotters use. I know I saw the Globetrotters, oh, a couple times at least, back in the day, and it would have been in the Sweet Lou Dunbar era, I think. I know I went, like, with the Cub Scouts.
That is so cool.
Yeah, my scouting group. We would all go see the Globetrotters. Now, when you saw them, how'd they do? Did they win? Do you remember?
Yes.
So, kind of stupid, but that's all I got. That's number three.
I love it. I love the Harlem Globetrotters. I'm so glad you mentioned them.
From the Globetrotters, Sweet Lou. And of course, that also means because he was on the team in the late 70s, that means that Sweet Lou was on the team when they went to Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
He had to play against those robots.
The robots.
To save the island. All right, Cornflake, let's go. Number two.
Three-way tie for number two for me. Oh. But these all go together. It's basically my 90s music experience, because I was thinking of Sweet Surrender by Sarah McLachlan, which came out in 1997 after, what, Building a Mystery and Possession. And it felt like every single one of my friends were huge Sarah McLachlan fans back then, and her music just didn't grab me. But then Sweet Surrender came out, and I remembered liking it very much.
Yeah, that's not the Crying Dog song, right?
No, the Crying Dog song came out like two songs later.
Okay.
And then there was the song that I thought was new in 1998, but it turns out it's a remake of a B-side from 1987. They fooled me, Kevin. Did you know this about The Sweetest Thing by U2?
No, I don't think I knew that. I remember the U2 song.
Yeah, I first remember it from 1998, but it was a B-side for Where the Streets Have No Name from the Joshua Tree.
Weird, because that song is not on the Joshua Tree album, so that was just an extra thing they did for a single.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I've been living a lie.
I was astonished when I learned this, but also, if we're talking 90s music, we can't not mention Matthew Sweet. Whenever I need a 90s fix, I'm listening to Sick of Myself and Girlfriend and I've Been Waiting. He was all over the 90s.
Yeah, he's good. And I don't know a lot of Matthew Sweet, but he is good. I remember that guy. I saw him once. There was the Jayhawks and Soul Asylum, some big wacky 90s rock show I went to. And there was Matthew Sweet. He was good.
Have you heard him in either of his albums with Susanna Hoffs, Under the Covers?
Yeah, I have. I know I've heard the 70s one. They've done two or three of those albums of cover songs.
Yeah, they sound really good.
He should do more crying dog songs, like Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, that commercial makes me so sad.
Miserable dog music is what I'm looking for. But moving on, where am I? Number two.
Number two.
I thought of a cartoon character.
Oh, which one?
The word sweet is part of her name because on Underdog, the old goofy 60s Underdog cartoons, the equivalent of Lois Lane, essentially, in the Underdog world, is a Sweet Polly Purebred.
Oh.
She's a dog, but she's a TV news reporter. And she was always getting in trouble and having to be rescued by Underdog.
Oh, wow.
I grew up on Underdog cartoons, you know? It's all I had. They're pretty ridiculous, but there's Sweet Polly Purebred. It's just a dog doing TV news.
That's adorable.
That's good enough right there. Voiced by Norma McMillan. And I knew her from Davy and Goliath. She did a bunch of different voices on Davy and Goliath. But she was Davy. Not originally. It was Dick Beals was the original voice of Davy. But then in the 70s, Davy and Goliath, she took over the role of Davy. She also took over the role of Gumby.
Wow. She was Gumby's voice for a while?
She was Gumby. Yeah, not originally, but she was doing Gumby as well. You know, also for that same studio, Art Clokey did both Gumby and Davy and Goliath. And she also was the voice of Casper the Ghost in the 60s.
She was Casper.
So again, not original Casper, because Casper goes back earlier than that. But the 60s cartoons, she was Casper. So that was kind of her move, is she would swing in and take over an already existing character voice, and she was very good at that. But Sweet Polly Purebred, I believe Norma McMillan was the original voice.
Through and through.
Of your favorite dog news anchor.
That's adorable.
I hope they weren't running those Sarah McLachlan ads during Sweet Polly Purebred's newscast. They come back from a commercial and she's just weeping. That was awkward. There were a lot of dark, depressing episodes of Underdog, all thanks to Sarah McLachlan.
That would be so distressing.
The other weird thing I learned today about the voice of Sweet Polly Purebred, Norma McMillan. Norma is Alison Arngrim's mother. Alison Arngrim was Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, small world.
This is information I did not have, and I feel like I could have used it a long time ago.
To commit that nugget to memory now.
That's your useless trivia for the day, Cornflake. Let's jump back to you, number one.
I had to pick the enormous shaggy brown Muppet with bags under his eyes and a bulldog-like underbite wearing sackcloth. And we first see him in the Muppet television feature, The Frog Prince. I'm talking Sweetums.
Oh, that's a good one.
Makes his first appearance in 1971 in The Frog Prince playing an ogre. But I first remember him from the Muppet movie, where he's helping the Muppets get their getaway car. And the car is too expensive at first. And he manages to swat a fly that's flying around right into an advantageous spot for a decimal point to be, changing the price from, I think, $1,195 to $1,195.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. I have not seen the Muppet movie in a million years, but yeah, that sounds familiar.
It's an all-time favorite of mine. And then, of course, Kermit's like grateful and says, "You want to come with us to Hollywood?" And Sweetums runs away, but it's to go get his stuff. But Kermit didn't realize it, so they drive off, and this poor Muppet Sweetums winds up following them all the way to Hollywood, and he bursts through the screen right at the end when he catches up to them. He bursts through the screen at the end of the movie to be with his friends in Hollywood, just like the Kool-Aid man, just boom, through the screen. He delights me, Sweetums.
Yeah, that's a great character. I forgot all about Sweetums. And yeah, just great looking character, and that's the big full body puppet style.
Yeah, he's enormous. Yeah, he reminds me a little bit of Where the Wild Things Are, too.
Does the character have a dark, disturbing backstory? I don't know anything about the character.
He also wrote a really sad song that's played in the background of commercials for dogs. <I don't
know. laughs> He was in business with Sarah also.
Yes, he did a duet with Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah, that checks out. I could see Sweetums accidentally getting locked up in an animal shelter, and he's in the cages with all the other dogs, and they're all just listening to Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah, he's got that sad face.
Yeah, wow.
And I can see him behind the bars going, "Wait up, you guys."
He's going to miss the Lilith Fair.
Oh, poor Sweetums.
Where are we? Number one?
Number one on your list.
Okay, I have a song at number one, and it's a song that went to number one on the charts, and that's the Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams.
Oh, that's a good one.
This was 1983. It was their first single released in America. And yeah, it went all the way up to number one. And that was really, you know, 83 is when that new wave sound was really starting to go mainstream. And on MTV, MTV was really big in breaking them as well, I think. Because they had that really weird video for this song, which I had not seen the video in a long time, but I watched it today.
I remember it.
There's the two of them. It's, you know, Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart, and they're like in a room, and then they're outside in a field, and there's cows. They're wearing masks, and they're playing cellos, and cows are wandering around them.
Yes.
And so MTV said, "Yes, we will play that 20 times a day.
We need that.
The kids need to see these cows." And it was also like Annie Lennox at the time. She had the super short hair, and she'd wear like the man suits. And that was like shocking at the time. You know, that was freaking people out, which was great.
It was awesome.
And it's sort of a scary sounding song. You and I were talking about The Tourists a while back, because their band before the Eurythmics, they were in a band called The Tourists.
Yes.
And they actually wrote this song after the breakup of The Tourists, and Annie felt really bad about the band breaking up and the uncertainty of what was going to happen next. And that fed into the lyrics in this song.
Oh.
And then Dave Stewart thought the song was too sad and depressing, reaching almost a Sarah McLachlan type level, you know. And so it was Dave Stewart's idea to add in the "hold your head up and moving on" lines to kind of pick up the mood of the song.
That makes sense. I've always wondered what the inspiration for that song was.
I learned so much about this song today. Which, knowing my track record, I will forget all of this by tomorrow. But that's what I know right now.
That is Fascinating.
There you go, Cornflake. They have cellos, they have cows, and they're freaking everybody out. The Eurythmics. At number one.
Yeah, something sweet from the 80s.
But now, we're at the top of your list. Your sweet list, number one half. I'm strangely terrified as to what you're going to do next.
I really hope I have not stolen your sweet thunder on this one.
All right.
Because I've gotten way into the new drama series on Netflix based on the DC comic. I picked Sweet Tooth for my number half.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering if you were aware of this show, so it sounds like you are.
I'm aware of it. I'm way into it.
Now, before you go on, we should say, I was wondering if Sweet Tooth was going to come up on your list, and I had not seen any of it yet, and so I actually saw the first episode of Sweet Tooth like 2 hours ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So just so you know where I am, I know the first episode. I've never read the comic book, so all I know is episode one.
Huh.
But I liked it.
I loved it. I thought with this being a DC comic, I kind of thought that this would be your realm.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get around to it. So this list was a good reminder
to check out.
So I thought, you know, I should probably at least watch one episode in case it's on Cornflake's list. And now here we are.
Yeah, all the way at the top.
I was vaguely aware of it being a comic book. And I know Jeff Lemire is the creator.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this a lot. Like the 11-year-old who is playing Sweet Tooth, the dear hybrid kid, Christian Convery, is just amazing in this. And the other main character that we see a lot of is played by Nonso Anozie. And of course, there's Will Forte in this.
Will Forte, yeah, from Saturday Night Live. You know, MacGruber.
He's really good.
So it's a world where there's a pandemic, and then there's also children are being born that are human-animal hybrids. And it's a kid with deer antlers. And let's see what he does next. There you go. That's the premise. Thank you. Glad to hear that you're enjoying it, because I'm sure I will as well. The mayor and I think, are going to keep going. Check out the rest of this.
Really good storytelling.
I'm watching like 9 different shows based on DC Comics right now, and this is easily the best of them. Because most of the other ones are... It's really become something of a chore. I'm trying to hang with them all. But they're really, really testing my patience.
Well, then you deserved something as good as Sweet Tooth coming down the pike.
Yeah, I've really had enough of Flash and Supergirl and all that stuff.
Yes, this is something very different compared to those.
Oh, yeah. Even if the comic is published by DC, it's not the DC universe.
Right.
You know, Batman's not going to show up, I assume, in episode 2.
That'd be pretty funny.
That'd be something.
I won't give away whether or not that happens, though.
Yeah, please. No spoilers. Maybe I'm going to see Batman next episode.
Just saying, there's a reason I like this so much. You know?
All right, well, let's jump to the top of my list.
Oh, I'm excited for it.
Well, at number one, I had a song called Sweet Dreams from the 80s. And at number one half, I also have a song called Sweet Dreams from the 80s. Because a couple years before the Eurythmics, we had Air Supply with Sweet Dreams.
Oh, okay.
So I figured I would just stack the top of my list with Sweet Dreams.
But of course you would have Air Supply right at the top of the list.
We have to put Air Supply at the top. It's the law. So this was Sweet Dreams by Air Supply from, 1981. This is from the One That You Love album. This was their 6th consecutive single to reach the top 5. 6 of 7. Their first 7 singles were top 5.
They're so good.
America could not get enough Air Supply in the early 80s. So there's Sweet Dreams, which is such a goofy song. It's so crazy dramatic.
It's cute, though.
The strings going, oh, it's great. Come on, you've seen them do it live.
Yes, it's adorable.
They keep making it more dramatic over the years. I've seen live versions of it where there'll be like a 10-minute piano solo.
Wow.
just to introduce the song. Those guys are out of control. They're back on the road now. They've got tour dates coming up later this summer.
Amazing.
They've got to bring Sweet Dreams back to the people live.
Yes. Well, after surviving the ordeal of the past year, we all could use a little Air Supply.
I felt like this was harder on Air Supply than anybody else. They're the real victims. Sarah McLachlan almost had to write a song about them. Well, Cornflake, that's the sweet list.
Very nice. Do you have any honorable mentions?
Nope. You?
I didn't put anything 80s on my list now, and I kind of regret it.
Yeah, mine was mostly 80s.
Right. But a song that I thought of, it kind of popped in and out of my head a few times, and I was like, well, my list is kind of full. But I almost put Sade. Now, do you pronounce her name Sade? Or, like, I remember radio announcers pronouncing her name Sade, but I think it might be Sade.
Nobody knows how to pronounce it.
The Sweetest Taboo from 1985.
Yeah, that was an annoying song.
I liked Smooth Operator way better.
Yeah. Oh, no. I did not care for that. I mean, she's lovely, she's fine, whatever, but I did not like that stuff.
Well, I've ruined everything now by making her an honorable mention.
Everybody else loved her. It was my problem. That was the sweet list. You're welcome, everybody. Couple of plugs before we wrap up, Cornflake. For the classics track, the Dragon Con American Sci-Fi Classics track, of course, with their weekly online panels. They're still at it. And last week I was on the Classics Track quarantine panel once again. The subject was, it was a birthday party for Classics Track director Joe Crow. They were just receiving questions and requests and things from viewers. People submitted weird questions in advance of the panel. That was it. So nobody knew what was going to happen. It was just a bunch of weird questions leading to a bunch of weird conversations. I know Manimal came up quite a bit because, you know, Joe loves Manimal.
Right. What would a birthday panel be without Manimal?
Several people submitted questions about Manimal. I know Bionic Bigfoot got in there at some point. We covered a lot of various silly topics. Very fun time hanging out with Joe and Gary and the rest of the Classics Track weirdos. And it's happening again this week. By the time this show comes out, I will have been on another Classics Track online panel, and this one, because Father's Day just happened last week, the panel was From Darth Vader to Darkseid, Best Dads in Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi dads. I love it.
I'm sure it was a great panel. As we're recording right now, we have not done this panel yet, so I'm anticipating it'll be a good time. We will have links to all that stuff, of course. But meanwhile, Cornflake, we did what we needed to do today. That was the sweet list. We're done. Get us out of here.
Between the shows, check out our sweet website. It's flopcast.net. We're also at facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. And on Instagram, where we are the_flopcast. Over on Apple Podcasts, if you would, you could leave us a rating and or a review. We love when you do that. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Oh, yes. And the music of the Sponge Awareness Foundation will make your dog openly weep. We guarantee it. Cornflake, thanks for another Flopcast. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us for a silly, sweet list. Everybody, hang in there. Be safe. Be good. Be goofy. We're thinking of you. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Positive than a New Day pancake, more fun than a super kick party. It's the wrestling podcast from the host who is the hammer swinging, burrito eating. Well, you know the rest of Thunder Talk. Sexy Thor. It's the Ring of Thunder, found in the Thunderverse and among the great podcasts of the ESO Network.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Geek here with a shout-out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. And let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this. For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
Oh, hello. You're still here?
After show time.
All right, let's do a secret after show. This is the part of the show that nobody hears. I could probably just stop that sentence right there and it would be fairly accurate, but I'll add, nobody hears unless they made it through the promos. And so, hello, secret people. What's going on, Cornflake?
I like that there are secret people. This isn't exactly a secret, but it's something I'm excited about, and I couldn't figure out how we might fit it into the show. So I've saved this little tidbit for our after show listeners. Now, you got me into Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Which is on Apple TV. I had to get a special subscription to see it, but it was totally worth it.
Yes, it's so great.
I've watched it over and over. I mean, I'm not the super fan that you are. I haven't made shortbread.
I made the cookies, the biscuits, if you will, that Ted Lasso bakes on the show. I came up with my own version of them to surprise the mayor. Yeah, and I even put them in the little boxes like Ted does on the show.
That is so great.
That's what it's come to here in the... in the pandemic era around Chickentown. I'm baking cookies and stuffing them in boxes. There's just nothing left to do.
Oh, your plans still sound like more fun than mine. But I just wanted to share my excitement because just this week I heard that there is an air date for episode 1 of season 2.
Yeah, new Ted Lasso season is coming. Yes.
It's as this show airs, it's just a little less than a month away. And this is interesting to me, Kevin, because when I go back and I watch season one seems like it could, to some degree, be a standalone story. Like if there was never another season, there aren't huge cliffhangers for it.
Yeah.
But I'm still eager to see what they whipped up for us in season 2.
I know what they're going to do. This is kind of a spoiler, but I happen to know it's Ted Lasso and his soccer team. You know, he's an American football coach, and then he gets a job coaching soccer in England, and hilarity ensues. Ted and the whole soccer team, or football as they call it over there, they go to Gilligan's Island and they have to play soccer against robots.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the Tee Public store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.